you ever seen a chasm? You ever seen a chasm that goes down, 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 down? And you wonder how in the world you're going to get across? First chasm I ever saw was back in 1970 when I, as a kid, went with my family to Colorado and we came across the Royal Gorge. Now that's a pretty impressive ditch they've got there. It's 1,053 feet from the bridge, the suspension bridge, no less, to the river, the Arkansas River beneath. There's a train that runs along the side of that river. And when you look down at that river from the top of the gorge, when you look down from the safety of the observation point, it's impressive. But when you try walking out across that bridge, and you look down between the wood slats, and you see that water 1,000 feet below you, and you see that train 1,000 feet below you, and you know what gravity can do, it's rather terrifying. When I was an adult, I went back there, and we took the vernacular down to the bottom and walked around down at the bottom, and were impressed by the view looking up. We then went back up to the top and very carefully, without looking down, walked across the bridge. I thought I was pretty smart. I thought I was pretty brave. Mom and Dad were laughing at me because we weren't going back by way of the bridge. We were taking the cable car that goes across, hanging, swinging, with nothing beneath you. I didn't have any nails left after we were done, nothing to polish, Susan. I mean, it was just a nightmare. I just ate it all the way back to the quick. I mean, I'm not normally afraid of heights, but this chasm terrified me. It was hard enough to get across walking on a bridge, clinging with my fingerprints left in the metal of the railing. It was hard enough to ride back in the car, swinging from a wire, looking down and realizing there, but for the grace of a bridge or a cable, I would go splat. That's a chasm, my friends. That's a chasm beyond any average, normal human being's ability to cross without the help of a bridge, without the help of some almost miraculous piece of engineering. What we have today in the parable is a parable about chasms. A parable about gorges, a parable about separations and divisions, which we ourselves make. Here we have in this interesting, fabulous, amazing, visually rich story about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man who feasts sumptuously, dresses in fancy clothes, and does it all the time. A story about a poor man, so sick that even the nasty, stinking dogs lick his sores. And before you say, ooh, icky poo, realize it's even worse for the Jews. The dogs, they don't like dogs in Israel. They were scavengers. They were unclean. They didn't belong. They were to be kept away. Every biblical reference to dogs is negative. Now I have to go home and hug my basset hound Dorcas because that's just a sad thought to me personally. But in point of fact, it is a negative image. Here he is, good for nothing, worthless, penniless, poor, sick, laying at the gate of a rich man's house, dying, and dogs are licking his sores. You can't get any lower, poorer, or sicker than this. There is a chasm dug by the rich man, a gate, a chasm, a barrier dug by the rich man between him and Lazarus in life. There's no way he could have gone out to do any shopping or any visiting or go to synagogue or go to temple. There is no way that the rich man could have gotten out and done anything and come home and not passed Lazarus. He saw him probably daily. He stepped over him probably daily. And yet he still feasted. And he still dressed in fancy clothes and lived his high life without thinking about Lazarus. And yet he recognized him. He knew who he was. He saw him daily. He knew who he was. When he gets down to hell and he looks over and he sees in heaven Father Abraham and Lazarus next to him, he thinks, oh my goodness gracious, why can't I be over there? I'm thirsty. Have him dip his finger and give me some water. And when that's not an option, send him to my brothers. I've got five brothers and they're just as bad as I was, and maybe they'll listen to him. What blows me away, and this is one of those things that struck me this past week, what blows me away is that here is this guy. He's in hell. He's in torment. And here he seems that nothing's much changed. He still seems to think that Lazarus can go do his bidding for him. He's giving him directions. He's saying, I want something to drink, or send him off to go talk to my brothers. This rich man just doesn't get it, does he? The chasm is of his own creation. The barrier is of his own creation. It was of his own creation in life, and it becomes his own creation in eternity. And before you think, well, this story is therefore about eternity, it's not. It's about today. It's about life here and now. We are always, repeatedly, creating barriers and gates and chasms between us and others. We're frequently digging chasms between us and our neighbors. And when we do this, what this parable is telling us is that we're digging a chasm that goes not just from time to time and day to day, but it goes through eternity too. When we dig a chasm between us and our neighbors, we are digging a chasm between us and God. I'm sure the rich man went to temple and synagogue, made his temple dues, went to synagogue and periodically read from the Torah, and sat and listened as the rabbis expounded upon it. I'm sure he did good work somewhere else. But his problem was is that he dug a chasm between himself and his neighbor, Lazarus, who lay on his doorstep. We dig chasms, my friends. Our culture, our society today is filled with chasms. Chasms between the rich and the poor, between citizens and non-citizens, between legal and illegal aliens. Chasms between people of various ethnicities and nationalities. Chasms between political parties. Chasms within political parties. Chasms between churches and within churches. Our lives these days are filled with chasms that we have dug, dividing us, separating us off from sister and brother and family and friend, neighbor. We have dug chasms. And as the rich man discovered, when we dig a chasm in this life, we're digging a chasm for eternity. What are we going to do? I mean, at first thought, it sounds like the rich man had a good idea. Send somebody from the dead back to warn those who are living. And the scripture is very clear that they won't even believe it, even if someone raises from the dead. We've had Jesus for 2,000 years to tell us how to live and what to do and how to come to God. And we're still digging chasms. We're still ignoring the needy and turning our back on the children of God. We're still dividing ourselves off. We're still fighting with each other. We've had Jesus for 2,000 years raised from the dead, and yet we ignore even him. I'm sorry, but we're not convinced yet about the reality of these chasms. Charles Dickens used this parable as the inspiration for the writing of the Christmas Carol. Of course, he changed the identity of many of the characters and sent the wrench man back to speak to his business partner. Jacob Marley goes back to speak to his brother, his business partner, Ebenezer Scrooge. And Ebenezer Scrooge's answer, his response, is precisely what the scripture said it would be. You're nothing but a bit of a rotten potato. Bah humbug. That's what the world hears. That's what the world says. That's what the world proclaims. That's what we say about these chasms. Bah humbug. My sisters and brothers, what kind of chasm have you dug? What kind of chasm have we dug as a church, as a denomination, as Christians in general? What kind of chasms have we dug that we can't even share grace across the lines of church names? We step over Lazarus's these days. We step on Lazarus's these days. I told a story not long ago about going to New York with my brothers in the monastery and going down the escalator to one of the really deep trains. And on the way down, we noticed that at the very bottom of the escalator, a guy lay across the threshold with a cup. And we were noticing that most of the people, as they got to the bottom, instead of stepping over the man, they were stepping on the man. We were careful to step over him and thought well of ourselves until we realized what we were doing. And when we went back to try to get the man up, he was gone. In this world, even with the best intentions, we ignore Lazarus. Even with the best hopes and desires and dreams, we ignore Lazarus. We demand legal papers. We have to turn them away because we have no more food. Oh, my sisters and brothers, what kind of chasms have we dug? And why haven't we listened to the one who came back from the dead? Not Jacob Marley, but Jesus Christ. What kind of chasms have we dug? My prayer for us is that we will go out the gate. We will walk across the bridge. We will step across that chasm that we have dug by the grace of God, step across it by faith in Jesus Christ, step across it and reach down and pick up, lift up, help up Lazarus. And bring him across the chasm and into the family of faith. What chasms have we dug? They may seem impossible for us to span, and by our own strength and ability, I'm sorry to say, when we have sinned in digging those chasms, my friends, they are impossible for us to span. But that's why Jesus came, to show us the way, to die to enable us to cross that chasm by his grace. Step out in faith and walk across, even despite the fear of looking down and realizing the enormity of what we have done, instead stepping out by faith and walking across and reaching out and helping those who are Lazarus in our society. The calling we have is a simple one. And my prayer for us is a simple one. That we will step out in faith, empowered by God's grace, to step across By God's grace, the chasms we have dug and reach out to every Lazarus we meet. If not, I'm afraid we're going to end up looking and acting and sounding just like the rich man, feasting heavily on Domino's pizza and croaking. Oh, my brothers and sisters, let's step out in faith. Let's step across the barriers. Let's step across the gates. Let's step across the chasm we have dug, and by God's grace in faith, reach out and share the love of God with every Lazarus we meet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.